is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
To Burkina Faso, this is West Africa, literal West Africa. Headlines in these last hours, Reuters. The African Union has suspended Burkina Faso from all its activities in response to last week's military coup, effective until constitutional order is restored. Burkina Faso had already been suspended from the West African Regional Bloc, the Economic Community of West African States, though ECOWAS stopped short of imposing sanctions after the January 24 coup that ousted President Kabore. I welcome Bill Rogio of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, because spinning around these events is the vast canvas of sub-Saharan Africa and the jihadists, both al-Qaeda and its iterations, and the Islamic State and its iterations. This is a vast map. This headline in Burkina Faso tells us to start there because some weeks ago, Bill Rogio and Tom Jocelyn, who keep the Longwear Journal with their colleagues, one of their colleagues, Caleb Wise, featured a headline, Jihadist Attacks Flow into Literal West Africa, saying that the states bordering Burkina Faso were feeling increasing pressure from al-Qaeda or Islamic State. It flows back and forth. Jihadists. This is Cote d'Ivoire, Ghana, Togo, and Benin. Bill, a very good evening to you. Thank you very much. Caleb Wise is a man with a crystal ball. He saw into this some weeks ago. Now Burkina Faso is clearly unstable. What do we know about the recruiting going on by the jihadists, and who is driving this, al-Qaeda or the Islamic State? Good evening to you, Bill.
Good evening, John. Yes, Caleb has done some fantastic work on this issue. The al-Qaeda's branch there is responsible for the primary fighting, although the Islamic State also maintains a significant presence in sub-Saharan Africa as well. They're in competition at times. There's times where they cooperate. There's times where they fight. The reason for this is that the Islamic State is a breakoff of al-Qaeda in the region. A lot of these jihadists know each other. They might be from the same families or tribes. So you have a strange dynamic. But the reality is that even though these two groups are in competition, they have been very successful in destabilizing the region. In the Burkina Faso, a big reason that given by the coup, leaders of the coup, and you have to take it with a grain of salt, but there is a measure of truth to it, is that they've been under-resourced. The military and police have been under-resourced as jihadists have been conducting attacks in Burkina Faso. There's been some deadly attacks by both, primarily again from al-Qaeda, but the Islamic State as well, in the northern part of Burkina Faso. And this is all part of a region that has been deeply destabilized in sub-Saharan Africa because of the activities of these jihadist groups.
The report from Caleb, this is a dateline early December, so it's 60 days behind, but we're seeing the knock-on effect of this report. These countries witnessed the spread of jihadist violence in their territories, Benin, Togo, and Ivory Coast. They must all now find ways to deal with the new security threats in addition to various domestic issues or concerns in each country. This puts each state in a precarious security climate, the risk being worsened as it remains to be seen how well each state will now respond to the violence. That was dateline early December. Here we have Benin, Burkina Faso, destabilized, falling apart, condemned, and elbowed out of the African Union. What promises next? The logic of this, Bill, is that the whole region will now descend into violence and disorder with the African Union and ECOWAS, the whole region.
Yeah, it's absolutely correct. The countries of Benin, Togo, Ghana, Cote d'Ivoire, they had, 15 years ago, if we were having this discussion, John, the threat in these countries would have been minimal, if not non-existent. This is the result of jihadist activity across the region. It's bleeding across borders and destabilizing previously. Now, look, we're talking about African countries here. There's always a degree of instability, But we're talking about now that where these countries are have a direct threat. You know, the last thing a lot of these countries need is another problem thrown to the mix. This is what happened in Burkina Faso, and this is why part of the reason why the coup occurred. And, you know, the Togo, Benin, Ghana, and other countries, they're dealing with the same issues, and this threat is now real. And, you know, look at this from a U.S. Homeland Security perspective, John. You know, prior to 9/11, and let's face it, they're looking at passports to countries. These are, you would now have a region of Africa where, you know, you would not have considered, you know, 15, 20 years ago to be a threat. Now we have to start looking and profiling a lot differently. It's just the reality of the situation. And it's an example of how the jihad has, pardon the pun, exploded. Right. In sub-Saharan and the greater Saharan area of Africa.
We go to more in sub-Saharan Africa, Mali. A series of headlines in these last hours. Mali summons French ambassador over remarks by authorities. Or Reuters, France won't stay in Mali if price is too high, says the defense minister. These are Francophile countries where once upon a time the French Empire was the colonial master. We also have this from the UN. 140 police peacekeepers reach Mali. This is within hours as well. A team of Bangladesh police today reached Mali to join the UN peacekeeping mission by a chartered aircraft of Binan Bangladesh Airlines. So UN and France, especially the Foreign Legion, are moving around in Mali, a vast piece of territory that really is best thought of as two regions, the sub-Saharan and the region more towards West Africa. This is enormous destabilization going on for some time. The French have been combating the jihadists. And Bill, my memory is that jihadists are spreading in Mali from the north. We're not addressing North Africa, the Islamic State in the Maghreb, but that whole area of North Africa was destabilized probably. We could date it to 2011 and the Libyan collapse and arms and jihadists have been flowing south since then. Mali right now, is this a country that is experiencing more recruiting by the jihadists, or is this just the French saying we've had enough?
Well, there's two things going on here. You've had the influx of jihadism. Remember, much of central and northern Mali was under control of Al-Qaeda for 1 year from 2011 to 2012. The French went in there to kick out Al-Qaeda. You know, Timbuktu and other, you know, towns and cities were under Al-Qaeda control. So the French have been in that mission for 11 plus years now, and they suffered casualties there, and they've expended blood and treasure in Mali. So the French have tired. They want to end, you know, just as here in the United States, the desires to end the so-called endless wars, that the French want to end their endless war in Mali. The problem is that it's also an endless jihad. The jihadists are not going to stop fighting just because the U.S. or France or other countries exit. The jihadism has had, you're correct, it's flowed from the north, but it's also flowed from the west as well, in Nigeria, Niger. There's this region in sub-Saharan Africa where it's just the jihadists have made a push. Mali is another weak, decentralized state. Jihadists thrive in these conditions. Al-Qaeda has the upper hand in this area, but the Islamic State also conducts operations there. You know, look, I think if you were to ask me, what's the next country to fall to jihadists, right? We had the Taliban go take control of Afghanistan over the summer. You know, put Mali on one side of the coin and put Somali on the other. And it's just a matter of who leaves first. Do the French leave Mali before the African Union abandons southern and central Somalia? You know, flip that coin and you'll get your answer. It's really, these two countries to me are on the precipice of falling under control of jihadists, or at least major portions of them. It won't be the full parts of the country, but it'll be significant portions of the countries that fall under jihadist control.
What follows when the Western powers leave this combat is encapsulated in an article that appeared in London over the weekend. by a young woman who's a veteran reporter in my 35 years of reporting. She started the article pointing to the four horsemen of the apocalypse riding in Afghanistan. The famine is so severe right now that people are sitting by scraps. Families are sitting by scraps, and we're told that fathers are selling their daughters for food. That's what's happening in Afghanistan now. And that is a vision of what will happen to these states when and if the jihadists take governance because of the withdrawal of Western forces. We're turning now to Nigeria, the large, rich, and powerful state of West Africa, because the two organizations, Al-Qaeda and Islamic State, are in competition in Nigeria as well. Bill Rojo, a senior fellow of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, with his colleague Tom Jocelyn and their colleagues, keep the Long War Journal. I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Bill Rojo, and we are looking over the map of sub-Saharan Africa from the west, and we're now moving to Nigeria. We've detailed the West African littoral of Burkina Faso, Benin, Togo, Ghana. We've touched upon Mali and the intention of the French forces to withdraw. Now we come to Nigeria. The major organization there is Ansaru, and that is an Al-Qaeda outfit. Do I remember that correctly, Bill?
That's correct. Ansaru is, it just recently reaffirmed its allegiance to Al-Qaeda. It sort of went underground after Boko Haram and the Islamic State, which used to be together, but now there's a split between the two. They took the lead in the fighting. Boko Haram used to be part unofficially part of Al-Qaeda's network. The whole schism between Al-Qaeda and Islamic State sort of set things off, but they're back. They've been conducting attacks. Boko Haram is conducting attacks, and the Islamic State is conducting attacks. The North, which seemed to get under control about 5 or so years ago, the fighting has exploded there as well. The Northern Nigeria is again destabilized, and this is what's why we're bleeding across the border into countries like Niger and Burkina Faso and Mali. Again, these jihadists, they don't look at the borders and say, this is my country, this is your country. We're jihadists. They cooperate. They support each other. And this has a significant effect in how they operate. It allows them. It's a force multiplier. So, you know, the Nigerian government has been just incapable of putting down this Islamist insurgency, and a lot of reasons for that is because of these the weak neighboring countries, the porous borders, and it always goes back to the commitment, the ideological commitment, the religious motivation of these groups to fight. They just don't give up.
And Bill, my memory is the Islamic State is prospering in this same territory, right? Is Islamic State now Boko Haram? They flow back and forth in my memory.
Yes, you're correct, John. And that's they do flow back and forth. So when the split with Al-Qaeda occurred, Boko Haram joined it joined the Islamic State. I believe it was Islamic State Greater Sahara is what it called itself. But then Boko Haram had a very strange leader, Shekau. I mean, this guy was a character. And I think the Islamic State tried to appoint someone above him. He didn't like it. So he took his faction and kept it as Boko Haram. Then the Islamic State, you know, subsumed a large part of Boko Haram. And it's a little unclear where they stand at this point in time. But you're right. It's sort of a back and forth between the two. But the reality is that all three of these groups are now fighting in areas of Nigeria and destabilizing the region.
The headlines from Nigeria tell the story. Six Nigerian Niger troops killed by Islamic State. That's at the end of 2021. Or Islamic extremists kill kidnapped Christians in northeast Nigeria. That's within these last days. Or Nigeria jihadists kidnapped 20 children in Borno State, according to residents. That's the Voice of America. Or extremists abduct 17 girls in northeast Nigeria. This flows back and forth. Nigeria connects to Central Africa, of course. And so there, as Bill says, there are no borders for the jihadists. Their resources are plundered from the local populations in many instances. You don't have a choice. You either feed them and take care of them or else. We move to the DR Congo, where Bill's colleague Caleb Weiss is doing reporting. Bill, my note here says the DR Congo is dominated by the Islamic State. Is that correct? This is some days out of date, so I don't want to misstate it.
No, that's absolutely correct. A group called the Allied Democratic Forces, ironically, or ADF, has been subsumed by the Islamic State. And the Islamic State has been conducting brutal attacks throughout the Democratic Republic of Congo. A lot of analysts out there are still kvetching over this fact. They want to pretend that the Islamic State is and the Allied Democratic Forces are not the same thing. They are. We know this through a lot of reasons. There's just this is part of the game of disconnect the dots that a lot of analysts and unfortunately in my business try to play. It goes, if they have to admit the ADF is part of the Islamic State, then they go, it kills their local grievance. The reason these groups operate is because of, poor governance and justice and things of that. And they just would have to admit that these groups actually have a religious motivation, that they're global, part of a global jihadist organization. They don't want to do that. But yes, this is an absolute new front in the global jihad. If you would have asked me or just about anyone 10 years ago that the Democratic Republic of Congo would be a major theater of operations for a global jihadist group, we probably would have laughed. But here we are.
We now move, because there are too many villains in too little time, to touch upon what seems to be the old men of the jihad in Africa. This is East Africa, Shabab operating in Somalia and also in Uganda. What is the state of Shabab now? Where are their loyalties? What are their resources? And who are they threatening the most, Bill?
Yeah, Shabab, of course, is Al-Qaeda's branch in East Africa. It operates in Somalia, Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, as you noted. About three years ago, a U.S. general said that Shabab controls about 25% of southern and central, or he said 25% of Somalia. I don't know if that meant southern and central Somalia, because remember, in the north, Somaliland and Puntland are pretty stable and they're semi-autonomous regions. But regardless, they control a significant amount of territory. Most of it is rural.
We have about 30 seconds, Bill. Go ahead.
Right, but they use this to wage a jihad. You had a governor in Kenya state that 60% of northern Kenya is under Shabab control. Shabab is a very effective organization, and it is supporting jihadist groups in the central sub-Saharan Africa. So I think Somalia is one of the countries that is in danger of falling under control of Al-Qaeda.
Bill Rougeau, Tom Jossen, they and their colleagues keep the Long War Journal, a chronicle of the retreat from contest with the jihadists beginning in Afghanistan, but now reaching into Africa. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.